bring greetings to each of you tonight in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here and share with you. Many of you are new faces to me, and I'm looking forward to getting to learn to know you better. Some of you are familiar. Brother Marvin and Sister Michelle, know them from Northeast, and some of you I have met before. Brother Steve back there. It's good to be here and share with you. It feels a little bit like a long day of travel. I was communicating with my wife before I got here, and she is retiring for the night, and she said, "Aren't you tired?" I said, "Well, yes, I am tired, but I'm looking to the Lord to give me strength to go through this message tonight." And we look to Him no matter when we get up to speak. It's His work. It's His word. So my name is Dave Groff, or David Groff. They call me Dave. And as Brother Lauren said, I'm from the Chapel congregation, which is about an hour plus from Philadelphia, northwest, I believe. Small congregation, about the same size as y'all have here. My wife's name is Lillian. We have five children. The oldest, we have four girls and one boy, ranging from 7 to 22. A little bit about me, and I hope we'll get to learn to know you all better. For the evenings, tomorrow evening and Friday evening and Sunday evening, I plan to have a little talk, interesting, hopefully it'll be interesting, for the children. I really enjoy children, and I'm looking forward to getting to learn to know you. The Bible, Jesus tells us, instructs us to feed His lambs, and I love children, and I'm looking forward to getting to learn to know you. So I plan to have a little lesson for the children before the message tomorrow evening and Friday evening and Sunday evening. I'm not going to ask you to look anything up, so you won't have more work on top of your already busy schoolwork. And hopefully we all learn something together. Also, we'd like to sing a theme song, and we can do that now. Turn with me in your hymns of the church to number 321. This song is a special favorite of mine. The deep meaning of this song speaks to my heart, and I trust that it will speak to your heart as we sing it each evening. And I did not bring a pitch pipe along. You could blow the pitch for us, Brother Marvin. 321.
Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Win it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love.
Verse 2.
Hast thou not bid us? strength am mine. I see thy cross there, teach my heart to cling. Oh, let me seek thee, and oh, let me find. Teach me to feel that thou art always nigh. Teach me the struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising doubt, the teach me the patience of an answered prayer. Teach me to love thee as thine angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame, the baptism of the descended dove, my heart an altar, and thy love the
So what we're asking the Lord to do is have his Spirit descend upon our heart and wean it from earth, and through all its pulses move. And oh, how mighty God can stoop down at our weakness, mighty as he is, and draw us to himself to make us love him more as we ought to love. And that is the purpose of these meetings, I believe, this week, as we heard Brother Lauren telling us, to love the Lord more. If we get to Sunday night and you have made a commitment in your life to change something, to bring more fruit for the Heavenly Father, the meetings were a success. Only God knows what he would have us to grow in this week, and we trust him. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, for a message tonight. John chapter 12. I'd like to start reading at verse 20. I think we're going to read to the end of the chapter. John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered, and others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, and how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be like the children, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." The title of the message is taken from verse 21. The last phrase of verse 21. We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. These Greeks came, they came to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip and desired him. They asked of him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." As I thought of message for tonight, this thought of we would see Jesus just kept coming back to me. Loved ones, this week, it is my burden that we would see Jesus. Please look past me. I am but a weak man. But we would see Jesus. Have you seen Jesus? Now, I'm not talking literal. Maybe you have. Maybe you had a dream. Incidentally, a number of months ago, I did have a dream. And it was that. It was a dream. But I was sitting at a table, and Jesus was there. And I thought, this is really strange. Like, this is strange. He knows, like, can I even talk? Because he's going to know if what I'm saying is true or not. He knows what I'm thinking. Like, can I even... just be quiet. It gave me a real, it was a different feeling. Have you ever been with somebody who, like, if you said hi to them, they knew you were going to say hi to them? They knew everything about you? You ever think how it would be to communicate with someone like that? Well, Jesus does know everything about us. And Jesus is alive, and we'll notice that in just a bit. But can we see Jesus in a different light this week? We would see Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 20, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he asks them, "Whom say the people that I am?" And they answered him and they said, "Well, some John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" You know, there are many people in the world today, and I trust not in our settings of Bible believing, where Jesus is another prophet. He's another good man. And do not count him as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Whom say ye that I am? We would see Jesus. There are a lot of important people these days. People look up to people who have money and prestige. The president of our country, of the country. People, when the president comes around, there are groups of people who want to see him, and the crowd is large. There are the movie stars. There are the people of popularity. There are the influencers of the world. The people try to influence people to buy things. People become popular in primarily three ways: position, wealth, and circumstance. But we would see Jesus. Jesus came in a lowly way. So many in the world today running after things to satisfy, as we heard, to satisfy the void in their heart of joy and fulfillment. Running after other things. But we would see Jesus, the source of blessing, the source of joy and true fulfillment. How are we to see Jesus? We know, we believe, the Bible teaches us, Scripture teaches us of the Trinity. There's God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all three work together in one. Well, point number one, we would see Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God the Father. Son of God the Father, it's John chapter 12 and verses 25 to 27. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." We must believe tonight in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God with us. Martha acknowledged Jesus as God's son in John 11:27, just a few pages back. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Jesus, the Son of God. We would see Jesus. And you know what is another amazing, wonderful truth that Jesus coming as the Son of God and his work and what he has done has made it possible that we can be fellow heirs and sons of the Father. A brother to Jesus through the work on Calvary. You see, there's coming a day when we will take our last breath. Our eyes will close and we'll be gone. Every last one of us will die someday or else be raptured home. But what's going to make all the difference in where we spend eternity is what have you done with Jesus? Has he made a difference in your life? Does he make a difference in your life every day as you go about your duties, as you work? Would men know you've been with him? Can they see his presence near? Can they buy your life and actions? See that you've been with Jesus, that you know him, God the Father. Number two, Jesus, you must believe that he is the Son of the Father, God Almighty. Number two, we must believe that Jesus is the door to the fold of God. Have you ever tried to enter a building that was locked? You did not have a key to get in. It's locked. How about trying to board a plane without a ticket? It doesn't work well. To come into the fold, the Church of Jesus Christ, we must come by acceptance of Jesus and his work. He says in John 10:7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He is the door or entrance into the blessings of peace and security found in surrender to him. He is our great intercessor, the unchangeable. He carries an unchangeable priesthood. We see that in Hebrews chapter 7. And he is able to save them. He's able to save us to the uttermost that come unto God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us, the only door. The only way. We come into the fold is through acceptance of Jesus. We would see Jesus. Jesus came the prescribed way. He came just as the prophets foretold of his coming. Just as it was prophesied. Do not be carried away with other winds of doctrine. Becoming a Christian and accepting Jesus into your heart is actually very simple. Yes, there may be complicated things with it and restitution and so forth. But to accept Jesus, the answer to the guilt and sin question, I believe. A tremendous amount of faith. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to believe that Jesus forgives our sin. And a tremendous amount of faith is built when you believe that, yes, Jesus Christ forgives my sin. When we've met the conditions of that. Don't try to climb into the fold some other way. We come through confession and repentance. confessing Jesus. And you know, we're hindered sometimes by the fear of men, of what men are going to say. And we see that in this chapter. In verse 42, the Pharisees believed on him. Nevertheless, the chief rulers believed. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Do not fear men in confessing Jesus. Number three, Jesus is the giver of life everlasting. I said earlier that all of us will close our eyes someday. All of us will take our last breath, or else we'll be taken out of this world when Jesus comes back, however you believe. But the difference is going to be what we've done with Jesus. We would see Jesus. Life everlasting. Everlasting life. What a wonderful promise to the child of God. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Are you living in abundant life? Is there anything in your life that is hindering you from abundant living? Abundant life living. You say, yes, there is. There's a lot of things, brother. Well, maybe there is. There are a lot of things that tend to pull us down. We get our focus off of the things that we're supposed to be on. But the problem really isn't those things. The problem is our heart's relation to them and how we're viewing them and how we're interpreting them in our own life. You see, bitterness starts in our life when we take our focus off of Jesus and we start to put it on us and how we have been hurt and how things have been whatever. And bitterness starts. Bitterness cannot start where Jesus is abundant in your life. The giving of abundant life is a little like the story of the little boy who was an orphan and living on the street. The little boy used whatever little money he got from selling papers to buy what he needed, but he was very needy. A wealthy lady came along and took him to her home and provided for him. He had all he could wish for. The abundant life given by Jesus is possible because Jesus is the author of life. He alone gives life and the grace to live a life free from sin. How much do we really need to be happy? How much do we really need to be happy? Can you have an abundant life? A life of fulfillment and blessing and happiness in your current state where you are? Jesus is the good shepherd, number four. He is the giver of life everlasting. And he is also the good shepherd. What does this mean? He is a suffering sacrifice. He is the shepherd. A shepherd is responsible for the needs of the sheep. A sheep is a helpless animal, and if left to itself, it's very vulnerable to disease and wild animals getting hurt. Jesus provides, protects, and preserves those who put their trust in him. He is the good shepherd. Security is found in keeping, say security, lack of a better word, security is found in keeping ourselves safe. within the fold of Jesus. Within the fold. Think of the heart of the shepherd who is counting his sheep. And he gets to 99 and he knows he had a 100 and there's one missing. And he leaves those 99 and he goes out and he searches for the one that is lost, the one that is missing. The good shepherd, the heart of the shepherd. I thought of that some time ago. I'm trying to remember the experience exactly where it was, but it was a rough night. And I thought about it. You know, would Jesus, the Good Shepherd, be out in a night like this? He loves us so much. He loves you. The little boy was asked if he would be willing to give blood for his little sister who was very sick. He said that he would do it. The day came, and as the doctor was performing the procedure, the little boy looked up at him with big eyes and said, "When am I going to die?" You see, he was willing to lay down his life for his sister. Jesus has done just that for you and I. Laid down his life so we can live. Number five, I alluded to this in the outstart, but Jesus is alive and coming back. He is alive and coming back. The Bible is true. We hold in our hands truth. Creation, we know how the mountains were formed. We know who created them. We know who created us. We know that the story of Jesus and the miracles he performed are true and accurate. We know that one day there was a man who people looked at and said, some of them said he is just a man, or they rejected him, they scoffed at him, and yet he was walking on water. We know that he was Jesus who healed the blinded. We know that he was put on a cross and he gave his life and all the miracles that were surrounded it. We know that he was put in a grave and in 3 days he was not in the grave. And that we know that, and we believe, do we not? We believe. Right? We believe. We believe in Jesus. His resurrection. We believe that Thomas told the rest that unless I can see him with my own eyes, putting my own words, thrust my hand into his side and see the prints of the nails, I will not believe. And then Thomas saw. And Jesus says, blessed are those who haven't seen yet believe. And we believe. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, as the men of Galilee are standing, the angel says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus is alive. And his work in heaven, as I mentioned before, he is interceding for us. He is our advocate to the Father. Eternal priesthood. It's because of him that we can live and have hope of life everlasting.
And he is alive and coming back. And he tells us in John 14 that in his Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. And he would have told us if it wasn't so. And he goes to prepare a place for us. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, he will come again and receive us. That where he is, there we may be also. What a wonderful time that will be. We can be with Jesus in the presence of the Father. There are two questions that Jesus asked his disciples in Luke chapter 9. Whom do the people say I am? And whom do you say that I am? The second of these two questions demands an answer, and it will be answered. We may feel we can evade the question, but in Philippians 2, verse 9, we're told, in verse 10, that every knee, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, in verse 11, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Today is the day to confess Jesus. Today is the day where we would see Jesus. Experience his fullness and blessing. Today is the day. He is coming back. He is the submissive son. He is the suffering sacrifice. And he is the satisfying sovereign. He is the submissive son, the suffering sacrifice, and the satisfying sovereign. Have you found Jesus? Have you found him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you seen him? Do you talk to the Father through Jesus' name? We end our prayers and we say, in Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a relationship with him? Let us pray. Our Father, in heaven, we bow our heads at this moment. Father, we would see Jesus. Father, we would have you work in our hearts to experience the abundant life and blessing. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Lord, we look to you for your blessing. Throughout the week, may your Spirit move among us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing one verse of invitation hymn tonight. Marvin, do you have a number we can sing? 733. 733.